You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
As many of you know, we're journeying through a series entitled Thank God It's Monday. And lest you think, if you're joining us for the first time, that the church has gone weird, it's because we believe as a church that Monday, or people who work, or our secular jobs matter to God. And last week we talked about God who works. We talked about that God works. He actually loves to work. He just doesn't work. He works well. He's a God of excellence. And then we talked about how God works with meaning and purpose, and he does things, and that's why there's a life about him. And that's why we talked about how Jesus, who lived for a mere 3.5 years of ministry, and yet that work is still being magnified, utilized, blesses us. It's still working to this day, the powerful work that he did. And so we looked at that and how, why should we appreciate work? It's because God created work. Today we're looking at yet another angle of work, and it's called the work that works. And last week I talked to you about work being just not the mindset that we think work is our job. Some people think that my work is my job, but I'm paid for. And the context that we're looking at is not anywhere near just that, where there's a level of work that we're paid for. But the fact of the matter is, work is not just our job. It's not just our employment. An extended job, if somebody paid you for a job to edit something, to do a certain thing, or carpentry work or plumbing work, and then you get employed, which is an extended period of that job, and then that could turn into an occupation or something that occupies your time, and at some point could be a lifelong career. But that's not the work we're talking about. There's a part of that that's work, but we're talking about this work that's called abad. And last week I unpacked the meaning of this word, and if that's your family name, God bless you. That's what it means. It means fruitful, blessed labor. God created you to desire labor and to bless that. The work of your hands will literally be blessed. You're actually enjoying yourself because what you do is blessed by God. Today I'm going to reference, and we're going to really have to go on hyper speed today because we're looking at a whole lot of verses in the Bible about work and the work that works. We're going to talk about really how this applies to you and I today. Now, Genesis chapter 2 verse 5 says, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. Notice that the Bible says that God created so many resources, and yet he said the reason why there was no man, or there was nothing happening just yet, is because there was no man to do the work. There was no man to do the work on the ground. In which case, we notice or we find that the work that the Bible tells us is God ordained for all of human or natural resources to become what it is and will not be what was intended to be apart from labor and work. Let's take a tree, for example. If you take a tree, before a tree becomes a chair does not become a chair. It has to start from a tree. And someone has to actually go out into that field and chop down that tree. And after chopping down that tree, wrap it around with some chains on it and haul it out of there, load it in a truck, bring it somewhere, polish it, chop it up, and then hammer it into a chair. In other words, before a chair becomes a chair, that sounds like a song in the 60s. Before a chair becomes a chair, it actually starts out as a tree. A natural resource requires labor. If you wanted a plastic chair, someone has to go out there and dig the oil, pump that oil up of the ground, process that, extract the plastic, and out of that mold that thing into metal wares that have to create molds that form the chair. In other words, labor has to happen before you can see produce. And that goes with plants and spectacles and whatever, shirts. It always has this idea of labor. The problem we have very often, because many people in church think that what I do, or the spiritual, largely because of Christianity's overemphasis on this, is we think that there is this divide between the spiritual and the secular. We think that the spiritual is actually more sacred than the secular, and the Bible does not talk about that. That's not actually true. But there is this strong mindset, particularly among Christians, that The people who do what I do, priests or pastors or people who preach the word of God, seemingly do something more sacred than the people who work in their day-to-day job. Say, for example, a dentist, a doctor, a policeman, or whatever, a taxi driver. And I want to establish today that that is not true. It is rather a wrong mindset. The fact of the matter is all of these are sacred. Both the spiritual or the secular, whatever it is you do. By the way, you could be a pastor, but if you're cheating on your wife, there is nothing sacred about what you're doing. That's not the point. The point is the sacredness is abad, blessed labor, the work of God that works. We want to look at some of the factors that bring that together, and we're looking at work from God. There's a work that comes from God, and we want to see the telltale signs of that. How do you know that the work I have is a work from God? How do you know that if you were a salesman selling footwear, that what I'm doing is a work from God? And the Bible clearly tells us how to know that. We want to see that. Number two, we want to see work for God. What does it mean to work in a secular world and yet work for God? And finally, we want to look at work with God. How do I work with God if, say, for example, I'm working for a mall, or I'm working for a factory, or I'm working for an accountant? And I want to look at and reference one of the longest stories in the Bible, interestingly. A very long story about a secular job of a man. And we're going to study his life this morning and look at how that plays out in light of these three truths. What does it mean to get work from God? What does it mean to work for God? And what does it mean to work with God? I'm referencing the story of a man named Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob, and it's a long story. In fact, I rather, if it rains tonight, stay home and read your Bible. Amen? This is actually a fascinating story. It's actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I really relate very well to this man. And because for many years I was a businessman, and I understood that the secular and the spiritual really don't have no divide. They're one and the same thing. The question is, do you work for God? Is the work that you're doing from God? And are you working with God? Now, our story begins, and you've got to catch up with me. Stay awake today. Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. Meanwhile, here's what happened. Joseph, let me take that verse out. Joseph was the son of a man named Jacob. He was the favorite of all the children. His father seemingly liked him. He was the 11th son, which is weird. He wasn't the middle son. He wasn't the youngest son. He wasn't the oldest son. He was the 11th son. But for some reason, he was the favorite. And as a result of that, all the 11 brothers hated him. And at some point, when they had an opportunity, they basically tore off this robe from him that he owned and threw him in a pit and sold him for a slave. And so we're picking up the story from there. He's now on this journey. He's in chains, okay? So here he is. He's in chains. And the Midianites had sold him, the Bible says, in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Now, get this. Joseph had no relatives in Egypt. He is now in Egypt. No friends, no connections, no pedigree, no college degree, no MBA, no PhD, nothing. Zero, zilch. No church, no pastor. The only thing he had was he had a God. He had a God whom he knew. And the Bible says he was sold for a slave, and he got there, and this captain of the guard, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Got it? So he arrives. Nobody knows him. His name is just Joseph. Nobody knew him. No friends. And he's now taken in by this guy as a slave, and he gets to work for this guy. This work from God. Think about this. No connections whatsoever. So you might be wondering, I'm working for a secular company. I have a boss whose wife looks like Potiphar's wife. Okay? So I'm here to tell you that job is a provision from God. Some of you are having a hard time. How many of you know God brought Joseph to Egypt? How many of you know that God provided this job? Some of you are going, yeah, so you're not sure. Don't hate your boss today, amen? Here's how you discern, did God put me in this job? Here's how you're going to know, okay? It doesn't matter how secular your job is. Did God put you there? Right? We've got members of the church. They're accountants for some of the largest casinos in this city. Are you still with me? Some of you are having a hard time already. But did God put you there? This is the most ungodly nation on the planet at the time. And Joseph ends up in this place. Secular job. Thank God it's Monday, amen? Opportunity for these people to see God. Now, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Where was the Lord with? Where was Joseph? In Egypt. Where? Ungodly job. But who was with him? The Lord was with Joseph. Not only was the Lord with Joseph, he became a successful man in this secular job, taking care of this ungodly man's business. Now, you're going to be delivered by the time this message is over. You're going to have a total change of mind. You're going to love your job. And he was in the house of this Egyptian master, working this secular job. And the Bible says the Lord was with him. Not only was the Lord with him, he became successful because the Lord made him successful. Interesting, isn't it? His master saw. Everybody say saw. This is how you know that this work is from God. The master will see your good labor. It's not where you work, it's how well you work. Go to work on time. Show your secular boss you're never late. Start there. And he will see like this guy saw. This guy saw the Lord was with him. He saw something about this guy. He said, wow. Wow, this guy's never late. It's always early. Wow, this guy is excellent in what he does. Wow, this guy's not just religious. He's not just the Bible guy. He's the real thing. The master saw that the Lord was with him. There was something about him that was obvious. Something different about this boy. There's an excellence. Still want this message? This is going to be a good message for you. Okay? I promise you. There's not very many illustrations today. Just the Bible. Okay? And the Lord caused all that he did to succeed. Who did that? The Lord. You think God is not thinking about your secular job? God is not just concerned about the prosperity of your beer company. He's concerned about you glorifying that so your boss may see you. And so that you can one day talk to your boss about him, because the eternal work is not the product you're producing. It's the boss that's in your company that sees how you work so you can share Jesus to him. But if he sees you late and sloppy, he's never going to understand, how can you represent God? I thought God was God. I thought God was never late. There's always a sunrise, but you're never here on sunrise. The Lord gave him success with his hands. It was obvious. There was something about him. There was something different. His God was with him. It wasn't just a job. Now he says, so Joseph found favor in the sight, on his side, and attended him. Now, this is the favor of God. This is what it means when you say, I've got work from God. There's favor. There's excellence coming out. And he attended to him and made him overseer. He became the chief executive officer of Potiphar Enterprises overnight. There's success, there's promotion, there's proficiency, there's blessed labor, there's abad, not just religion, not just being spiritual, but the divide of the spiritual and the secular come together in a sacred way, because abad comes, blessed labor. God's allowing this to happen, and these people are watching, not just the boss, everybody's watching. Who is this guy from nowhere? How can he do this? His labor is blessed. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord. Everybody say, the Lord. How can God bless this business? For Joseph's sake. So that the owners of the business will watch and say, wow, who is this kid? Wow. wow, who is this young woman? Who is this nurse? Who is this department head? Who is this girl? Who is this driver? Who is this? Then they're wondering, who is this guy? For your sake, so that God's provision will come to you. God's purposes will work in and through you. And the glory of God will move. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. Isn't that interesting? God kept blessing this man. But for whose sake? For Joseph's sake. So that the purposes of God will proceed. You sometimes you wonder, you know, I'm just a drill bit salesman. Yeah, sure. But you know, that drill bit, that's used to fix cars. And that drill bit fixes cars that are important. And without the cars, people can't ride. And without cars, people can't go to their jobs. And in other words, your impact in that job, don't think about that menial task. Think about the job that God's given you, he's providing for you. If you're having success in it, that's fine. Because what's eternal is not the drill bit or the screw or the car. What's eternal are the people riding in those cars. Are the people you're interfacing. Don't get over spiritual, folks. You could be a coach like Joel, and you could be anybody in this room, and you're still serving God. Because you're interfacing with people. And whenever you do, you're interfacing with eternity. Now, we know what work from God looks like. Success, provision, increase, the blessing of God, blessed labor. You're not burning out. Now, what does it mean to work for God? Different. Now, here's what happens. Genesis 39, verse 6. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Okay, that means, you know, the Bible is very clear. It says that this guy is he's just handsome, okay? And then he says, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, I want to lie with you. I want to go to bed with you. Here's a problem. Now we have a problem. Okay, you're blessed. You've got provision. God's honoring you. Your boss is seeing your success. You're doing great. And now he tells you, let's take a shortcut. Let's do something illegal. Let's cheat a little bit. Let's lie a little bit. In this particular case, let's have a weird alliance with my wife, or you can have a weird alliance with his wife, so you can promote yourself even more. Are you following? And when you work a secular job, yes, there is work from God, but you have to understand you also work for God. Not for Potiphar, not for his wife, for God. In which case, there is a limit to what you can do. There's places where you're going to have to stop and say, I can't do that. We're not doing that. We're not going there. And here's what happens next. But he refused. He kept his integrity. That's what it means to work for God. Your conscience is extremely critical. Whenever you find yourself bothered in your soul, for whatever reason, that's your conscience. And that is good. To have a healthy conscience, because that's the vehicle that God generally uses to speak to you. And he refused and said, my master's wife, behold, because of me and my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. There's no way I'm doing this. And you can go to your boss and say, there's no way I can do this. It's just my conscience won't allow it. I remember a good story of a girl who was a volunteer at Ignite. And she had just resigned from her job and applied to a new job, and they got accepted her. But she said, I want to volunteer for Ignite because I really prayed about this and the timing just happened to be like this. And her conscience was bothering her because she's about to lose the job if she doesn't show up for the interview. And at the same time, she wanted to fulfill what God had told her. And she prayed and she felt the Holy Spirit told her, you tell your boss why you want to do what you do. And she explained, I volunteered for this conference with 15,000 young people, and I want to stay and be here. And I know that you told me to report on this day. If I have to lose it, then I'm really sorry because I can't violate my conscience. And the owners of the business were so blown away by this girl and said, we like people like you because it's rare to find people like you who have a conscience. And said, take as much as you want and just come when you're ready. There's a place where you're going to have to make a stand, folks. Now, in this case, you're going to find Joseph made a stand. It didn't turn out for his good instantly. But we're going to see how God works when we work for God and not for ourselves. So he says, I can't do that. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife. Watch this. He said, your husband has given me all the authority, all the power, except you and you, his wife, the two of you. But listen, I don't work for you. How then can I do this great wickedness against my God? I work for him. Do you understand that, Mrs. Potiphar? I don't work for your husband, and I'm trying to be honorable here, but listen, I don't work for your husband or for you. I work for God. And there's no way I'm going to do this thing you want me to do. Are you here? It's quiet here today. I don't know if you know you've got blessed labor. Doesn't matter how secular your job is. You work from God, and you work for God, and you work with God, and watch what happens. Trust me. But you start taking shortcuts, and watch what happens. And you've got evil and wickedness revolving around your life. Your work will not be blessed, it'll be cursed. You may look like you're advancing and getting promoted, but it's not really. It's burning you out. It's destroying your marriage. It's destroying your family. It's destroying your children. There is a place of blessed labor, folks. The work that works. Now, and she spoke to Joseph day after day. In other words, this boss won't relent. No, no, no. It's really, you know what? You just sign here and it's going to be okay. No, no, no. It's really not a shortcut. No, 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 no. You've got all this rationalization. No, no, no. It's really not as bad as you think it is. It's really not. This is a one-time thing. You and I are just going to sleep for a while. It's not going to be a long-term affair. It's not going to be one time that we're going to cheat. It's not, in other words, all this rationalization day in, day out. Day after day, and he would not listen to her. No, I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm violating my conscience. There's no way. There's nothing more precious next to Jesus and my marriage, my conscience. And there's no way I'm trading that with you. That's not happening. We're not going there. If I lose that, I lose a lot. In fact, I lose just about everything. Guard your conscience. Especially in your job, because you spend a lot of time there. The fear of the man, Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is saved. That's what this is about, really. When we compromise to our bosses or to whoever we're dealing with, it's the fear of man, isn't it? And the Bible says the fear of man lays a snare. It's a trap. Because we're just doing it because we're afraid. But whoever trusts in the Lord is saved. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 33, verse 6. We keep singing and talking about grace. Somebody ought to preach this. Isaiah 33, verse 6. He will be a sure foundation for your times. How many of you want a sure foundation for your times, for your years, for your seasons? A rich store of salvation and wisdom. How many of you want that? And knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. To fear God. To know that God is watching me and seeing me and thinking my thoughts and watching what I'm thinking and how I have learned to violate my conscience and play around with my heart. God's watching that. Listen to me very well. If you want to have faith when you get into a prison like Joseph is about to, you better have faith to say no to wickedness. Because if you don't believe that God can see you when you're committing wickedness, if you don't believe and have the faith to believe that God is watching you, then you will not have the faith to believe that God is seeing you when you're in prison. Don't ever play with your conscience and your faith. When you have faith to believe that God sees me in the worst of my times, then I have faith to believe that God sees me everywhere. And when he sees me thinking my thoughts and wanting to look at that site on the internet, that's faith to believe God sees me. And when I have the faith to believe that, I'm going to have the faith to believe that he sees me when I'm in trouble and he's going to lift me out of there. That's faith. Both of those are faith. Don't make a mistake. You try exercising wrong muscles here, you won't have it there. Exercise it every day in your job. Exercise that faith to believe in God, to believe that God is for you, that He'll give you success, that He'll bless you. But one day, here's the devil attacking. And this can happen to you. Happened to me. One day, when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there, I don't mean I had something like this with a woman. I meant, hello. That's not what I meant. Some of you say, Pastor? No, that's not what I meant. Okay, what I meant is one day there's going to be something that will violate your conscience that's going to be presented to you when you're least ready for it. You better have the muscles every time it was presented to you so when the time comes, you're ready to say, no, I'm just not doing that. No way. Stupid. That's silly. One day he went to the house and to do his work. There he is, working. He's doing his abad. And none of the men in the house was there in the house. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. He was smart enough to run away. He says, listen, I can't violate my conscience. If you're going to play this way, I'm out of here. I'm just not doing this. I'm not playing this stupid game. I'm not wasting my time with this. And he runs away. And as soon as she saw he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, so the garment's holding, she's holding the garment, she's got proof. She called to the men of her household and said to them, see, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me and to lie with me. I cried out in a loud voice. This woman was a liar. You try and testing people who test your conscience and you try and cross their path, you're going to see who they really are. Hello? Man, this is quiet here today. Is it just because of the rain? If you want to see a nation transformed, it better be blessed labor. Your labor better be blessed. You better know your work comes from God. Regardless of what that work is. If you want to see a nation transformed, you better know that you work for God. And in a few minutes, we're going to see what it means to work with God. But that's how you get blessed labor. And that's also how you get cursed labor. And so she was setting him up. As soon as he heard it, so she goes to basically, I'm cutting to the chase here, I'm jumping verses. You need to read this tonight. This is really good reading. And she's holding this thing and goes to her husband and says, you know, hubby, this potty boy, this man tried to seduce me. And she lied through her teeth. And here's the garment to prove that he was trying to rape me. It's being set up. And Potiphar got so mad as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, this way your servant treated me, his anger was kindled. He was so mad. So mad at Joseph. And what he did next was, as Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison at the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. This is an interesting verse. I love this verse. It says that he takes this guy and puts him in prison, but he doesn't put him in prison. He puts him in the prison where the prisoners of the king are positioned. In other words, I've got a funny feeling Potty knew there's something weird about his wife. The Bible says that when you're married to somebody, you are one flesh. You should be, if you're really married. I actually rather think I'm one flesh. If my wife's hungry, I can actually feel it. That's what marriage ought to be. Some years ago, I had this weird sensation that every time my wife walked in the room, I'd have a warmth inside my chest. That's God, how God intended your marriage to be. So I really believe that Potiphar knows that his wife is weird. He just didn't have the proof for it. I don't know if you know when your wife or your husband is weird. Why, you're weird, man. I mean, why are you keeping the letters of your boyfriends or your girlfriends? I thought you and I were one. What's with the class ring? Oh, really got quiet now. Some of you are still keeping those things. You shouldn't. Now, let me not digress to work, okay? I'm out to marriage. I'm about to do a marriage retreat soon for our church. So I'm studying marriage at the same time I'm studying work. The king's prisoners were confined. In other words, he put him in a VIP slot. I think he knew somehow that he owed this guy a favor. He's been blessed. His business has grown. And somehow he knew that this is not completely just this man's doing. I think. The Bible's not saying that. I just think. If you read very closely, it's a little weird. Why would you put a guy who's trying to seduce your wife in a VIP prison? And notice what happens when you do the work of God. Here's what happens. But the Lord, wherever he goes, the Lord is there with him. Start working for God. It's amazing. Wherever you go, the Lord's there. But the Lord was with Joseph and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison for whatever reason. The Bible doesn't tell us, but all of a sudden there's favor again. And he gets promoted again. You know, when you've got blessed labor, you can be brought anywhere and you're just blessed. And they can cheat you and lie to you and accuse you and do whatever they want to do with you. You just happen to be blessed. Your labor is blessed. Because you've learned work comes from God. And I work for God. I don't work for men. Don't trust in the favor of men. They're fickle. They're going to like you one day and they're going to hate you the next. You trust in God and he'll keep coming through for you. Here's what happens next. The keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the VIP prisoners. Can you imagine this? I mean, this guy has no name. This guy just cheated on the wife of this VIP, and now all of a sudden he's in charge again. Whatever was done there, he was done the one who did it. His labor was blessed. There was something. There was an anointing. There was a grace on this man. Because he knew work comes from God. Work is from God. Working is not just from God. Working is for God. That everything I do needs to glorify him. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph. There it is again. Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it successful. You can actually read this tonight and keep believing this word that whatever I do, the Lord's going to grant success because I work for him and this work comes from him and I can have success. Here's what happens. Two of the VIP prisoners get a dream. Okay? They get this wild dream, two of them. And so in the morning, they wake up and there's Joseph trying to serve them with food and try to attend to them. And here's what happens. In 3 days, he says, Pharaoh, he told one of the guys that dreamt, in 3 days, he will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall be in place in Pharaoh's cup, in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Basically, he's telling him, you know, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. You're getting out of prison again. Now, the other guy heard that and said, wow, I like that. Tell me about my prophecy. And Joseph said, in 3 days, they're going to hang you. Okay, that's the story. I'm cutting it. Just read this. This is really an amazing. There's Genesis 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. It's just an amazing, all the way to chapter 43. It's like a little novel inside the Bible. It's an amazing story. There's so much you can learn from this story. Just pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, and read your Bible, and then let the Holy Spirit reveal the word to you. Read it tonight. He says, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. So he goes to this guy and basically tells him his sad story. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Basically, he's saying, okay, I gave you the right prophecy. I gave him the wrong one. You're going to Pharaoh's house. Once you get there, tell him about my situation and get me out of here. Got it? In other words, he was trying to use human influence to get him out of prison. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into this. Basically, he's telling the truth. He's saying, listen, I don't deserve to be here. I've done nothing, and yet here I am. Everybody got it? Now, here's what happens. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, the Pharaoh was in a feast, and all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants, and the other guy got crucified. And the other guy got restored into his office. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He actually forgot him. That's what happens when you trust in people. Okay? So, what does it mean to work, to have work from God? Provision, open doors, favor, success, promotion. What does it mean to work for God? Integrity, the fear of the Lord, standing for honesty, watching your conscience. And now what does it mean to work with God? Here we find the third part of Joseph's life and his work, his secular work. The Bible tells us in Genesis 41 verse 1, after 2 whole years, I love this verse. It says, Bible is very clear, 2 whole, 2 full years. Let me make you understand something about time. There's 3 words in the Bible that pertain to time. Chronos, which is what's in your wrist. Chronograph, the passage of time, the measure of the passage of time. That's chronos. It's the Greek word chronos. Kairos, the opportune time, the movement of the seasons. There are certain things you want to do at the right season. You don't want to teach your son to drive at the age of 9. There's a right season for that. There's a kairos moment. There's an opportune moment. There's a third word that the Bible talks about pertaining to time, and that's called plerou, which means God's perfect time, the fullness of his time. It's the right moment. When you get into your plerou moment, no one can stop you. And you got to have the faith to wait. And sometimes God delays you 2.5 years, 2 years, 3 years, because he knows that's not the right time for you just yet. Are you still with me? What does it mean to work with God? Faith to wait. Faith to wait that he has greater things in store for me. Faith to believe that if I just work for him, I receive work from him, and I will wait patiently for him, I will see him come through for me. Faith. Faith to wait and believe there are greater things. Listen, if Joseph succeeded in getting out of the prison through the auspices of the cupbearer, you know what's going to happen? He's going to end up in the same palace with a big difference. He will not be the governor. He will be the assistant of the cupbearer. He will not fulfill his destiny because he moved in too early. And so God teaches us how to work with him. Wait, wait, wait. Joey, wait. I'm promoting you. I'm doing it for you. I'll take care of you. You wait for my right timing. You will know it. In the meantime, realize that work is from me, and I'll provide for you there. I'll give you success there. I'll give you promotion there. I'll give you open doors of favor there. You be diligent. You work hard. You show them how a Christian works. So in the morning, here's the Pharaoh. His cupbearer forgot about Joseph. The Pharaoh is sleeping. He gets a dream. And he's got 2 dreams, and he can't interpret it. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told him his dream. And there was none who could interpret them for Pharaoh. He said, I'm looking for somebody to tell me what these dreams are. And nobody could. And finally, here's what happened. The chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offense today. How many of you know this is God's perfect time? I just remembered now. God knew that Pharaoh was going to have a dream, and God knew that he would set him up, and this guy, God will, the Holy Spirit will remind him, and when he reminds him, that's the moment, Joseph. That's where you want to be, at the right moment. Doesn't matter if you suffer now, just be there at the right moment. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving us interpretation to each man according to his dream. And here's what Pharaoh did. Then Pharaoh called for Joseph. And they quickly, everybody say quickly. You know, when it's God's time, it's quick. When it's not God's time, it's unblessed. When it's God's time, it's like you're playing around. It's like no worries. You're like an Aussie. No worries, mate. You're just walking around. There's just, You're cool. You're relaxed. It's God's perfect time. It's a pleroo moment. Quickly brought him to the pit, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, by now his beard must have been long. He was standing there before Pharaoh. Watch the conversation as we try and close this. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and there was no one who can interpret it. And I've heard it was said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it's not me, boss. It's God. I work for him. I don't work for you. I don't work for Potiphar. I don't work for the warden. I work for God. I know who my boss is. I know when he tells me to sell everything, I sell everything. When he tells me quit, I quit. He is my boss. And now you guys are all locked up and you don't know a way out. Because they're in panic now. The king is tormented. He's desperate. He said, God will give you a favor. Now therefore Pharaoh select. Then he says, he gives him the interpretation. The Pharaoh is blown away. Basically says, wow, where'd you get that? And then he says, what do we do? He says, Pharaoh, select a discerning wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed and appoint overseers over the land and take a fifth of the produce of that. Basically sets up, when God gives you a work, when you work with God, it's not just raw faith. He gives you specific things. He gives you specific steps and specific moves because he is God. And Joseph begins to tell him, here's the plan, guys. Get a guy, set up overseers, build silos, build these warehouses, and you won't go hungry. Famine's going to come, it will go, but you're going to survive. And let it gather, he says, all the food there, these good years that are coming in store. He basically gives him the master plan. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his and servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom the Spirit of God is? This king was watching. Wow. It's not about the work. It's about this guy's God. This guy's God's alive. Can we find someone who's like this? The conclusion was, we can't. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all of this, there's no one discerning as you, and as wise as you are, you be the overseer. Not just of the project, of my entire house. And all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to my throne will I be greater than you. In fact, let me bless you. Okay? I set before you over all the land of Egypt. And as a token of my appreciation, I'm going to give you this Hugo Boss suit. Okay? Clothe him in garments and linen and put a gold, and I'll give you this gold chain, and you're going to walk around and you know, just buy all of that stuff. Here's your Mont Blanc pen. And by the way, here's a Jaguar for you as well. Are you here? God's time. His perfect time. I'm not saying you're all going to have a Jaguar. I'm just saying there's a place where you work for God, with God, and you receive work from God. So Joseph said to his brothers, now let me try and close this. Joseph becomes prominent, his work is blessed, his labor is blessed, he's secular, he's living in this world, but he never for one minute forgot why he got there. His brothers arrive, in the closing moments of chapter 45 of Genesis, Joseph goes to his brothers, come near to me please, and they came near and he said, I'm your brother Joseph whom you sold into Egypt. I don't even work for you guys. I'm not even bitter about all the things you've done. I'm not bitter about being sold as a slave. I'm not bitter about being castigated. I'm not bitter about being thrown in prison. I'm not bitter about, you know, the Bible says he was handsome. Amen. You know how it happens inside prisons when you're handsome. And I'm not bitter about any of that. You should read your Bible this way. The Bible is a book of life. It's not a religious book. The Bible is secular and spiritual. The Bible is sacred. And now do not be distressed or be angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve lives. There's a reason for my work. There's a reason for this labor. God sent me here ahead of you to preserve lives. And God sent me to preserve the remnant of the earth and to keep alive for many the survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God He has made me a father to the Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all of land of Egypt. This is the work that works. In summary, work for God, from God, work for God, work with God. Provision, proficiency, promotion. That's work from God. Work for God, keeping our integrity, a healthy fear of God. Working with God, faith to wait and for greater things. Always believe God's got greater things. Yeah, I may be in prison right now. Yeah, I may have lost my business. Yeah, I may have gone belly up, bankrupt. God has greater things for me. It's not over. I just have to wait. It's coming. And most of all, faith on the purposes of God. God, you've got great purposes for me. Amen? It's not over till it's over. Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. What a story, God. God, it's always inspiring to hear the story of this man, Joseph. And God, today I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you do a deep work in our hearts to know that there is such a thing as abad, blessed labor, good work, labor that is blessed by heaven, labor that is from heaven, labor that provides, labor that gives us success, labor that brings promotion. Labor, Father, to do it for you. Lord, to keep our integrity, to guard our conscience, to trust, O God, that you are indeed the God that deserves reverence and fear. And Father, give us the faith to work with you, to wait and to work for greater things in store for us, to trust in your purposes, not just for our present provisions, but that is not the purpose. That's one of the fruits of labor. But to know your heart, the eternity that comes with the labor that we bring on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the labor of Monday tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.